Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, it was his generation, lifetime. He was traveling somewhere, going somewhere, and he was going to meet Allah Ta'ala, to converse with Allah Ta'ala. So on the way he met an individual. He said assalamu alaikum with adab, with respect, and he requested that, "You are the Prophet of Allah, you are the beloved Prophet of Allah, you speak to Allah. I am extremely sinful, please can you assist me in something?" Then Musa alayhi salam said, "Yes, what is it you'd like me to do?" He said, "I'm very sinful, there's nobody more sinful than me." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "You are that sinful, who are you? He said, "I am Shaytan." Shaytan, obviously there's nobody more sinful than Shaytan. He said, "Who?" He said, "Yes, I am Iblis, Shaytan." "So you are the Prophet, and I thought I would request you that I'm very upset." He said, "Why are you upset?" He said, "I have a request. Please present my request to Allah." Allahu Akbar. So he said, "Yes, what is your request?" He said, I am fed up of sinning. I want forgiveness from Allah. I want to request that Allah please forgive me." Musa alayhi salam was very surprised. Shaytan is Shaytan, Iblis, the head. He said, "Okay, fine. I will present your request. So, Musa alayhi salam went and he spoke to Allah. They had a conversation. Then he forgot. Musa alayhi salam forgot with regards to the message, the request that was made. So Allah Ta'ala reminded him that, "Did you meet somebody on your way who gave you a message?" Subhanallah. So he said, "Oh Allah, yes, I met, it was Shaytan who I met on the way." Allah said, "Is it? No problem." What did he say? Allah is Khabir and Basir. He said, "Allah, he was saying strange things, Shaytan. He said that I want to present a request to Allah, and Allah won't reject your request because you're the Prophet if you present it on my behalf. And he was asking for forgiveness, Allah, that forgive me, I want to do tawbah, I want to repent." Subhanallah. Allah's rahmah, mercy, look at it. Allah's karam, His grace, His blessing. Shaytan, head. There's nobody bigger than him in sin, is there? The Shaytan is the cause of all sin. So Allah said, "Musa, okay, he spoke to you." So Musa alayhi salam said, I've said this. Let's see what answer comes. Allah said, "Musa, you've come, you've requested on his behalf. I'm Rabb, I'm the creator. Okay, fine. I will forgive him." Subhanallah. Musa alayhi salam was happy. Subhanallah. "But just tell him one condition of mine and then I'll forgive him," Allah said. Musa alayhi salam, "What is the condition?" "Now tell me what could be the condition," Allah will say. "The condition is this, Musa, that I told him to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, and he didn't prostrate, he didn't obey. So today if he prostrates, then I'll forgive all of his wrongdoings." What a big point, huh? Musa alayhi salam was happy that this is nothing. This is a minor condition, prerequisite, and Allah will forgive him everything just on this minor matter. Allah is so merciful. So merciful. That's fine. He went back quickly. First and foremost, the first job I've got to do is go and deliver this message to Shaytan so he can release all of us. He's destroyed the whole world with his trickery. So Shaytan was waiting where he was standing. He was waiting. Salam dua. He said, "Musa, what reply have you brought from me?" He said, "Oh, you've succeeded." Musa alayhi salam said, "Allah's mercy and blessings. Congratulations, congratulations." Musa alayhi salam said, he said, "What's the message?" He said, "Allah's forgiven you." He said, "I will forgive him, Shaytan. But just minor small condition, but that's nothing for you, it's not hard for you. No problem, nothing to worry about. You can fulfill that. Very simple. That you'll do that, no problem. He said, what's the condition? He said, very simple, very easy. I'm so happy for you, etc. Shaitan said, what's the condition Allah has given? He said, the condition is that you didn't prostrate to Adam alayhi salam at that time. So that's fine, Allah says, I'll overlook that. Despite that, you used to do a lot of bad things, you've done a lot of sins, and if today you prostrate, then I'll forgive you today, Allah Ta'ala said. Good day. So Shaitan, look at his response. He heard this, then he shrieked out. You understand? He laughed out. He laughed out. Shrieked out with laughter. Musa, he said, you are too simple. You're a Nabi, isn't he? He said, why? He said that when I was in Jannah and Allah was present, at that time I didn't obey this order. So today I'm on the earth. You think I'll obey this order? This is very difficult. That go and ask for something more simpler for me to do. And he said that and ran off. Mufassirin, the commentators of the deen, have written in detail about this event. Importance of this event, they've presented it to us. And it looks like a normal event, doesn't it? Yes, but Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, His mercy, His blessings, look at it. The shaitan, a cursed shaitan, can there be anyone like him? Tell me. So, with shaitan, if Allah Ta'ala was prepared, Allah Ta'ala was prepared to forgive him, Allahu Akbar, shaitan, Allah was prepared to forgive him, overlook his sin, that if you do this action, Allah overlook all your sins and forgive you. So my brothers, why are we not hopeful of Allah's rahmah, mercy? Will Allah throw us into hellfire? Will Allah Ta'ala want us to melt into the fire of Jahannam and become fire ourselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be merciful with every human being. Fadl, His grace, His mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam and fadl is so high and great that He gives opportunities to human beings, chances in their lives, chances. Allah ta'ala through the life of a human being gives him opportunities through which Allah's rahmah descends to forgive him. Totally, it's ready. Allah's ready to forgive. Allah's ready to forgive. Just like shaitan, he had an opportunity. What a big opportunity. A Nabi, Allah's Prophet, is going to Allah. Directly he's requesting Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. How big an opportunity shaitan had. And Allah Ta'ala gave him that opening, that window. But he made it into a joke. He laughed out. He cackled. Shrieked out with laughter. So brothers, Allah Ta'ala to His servants, His creation, and especially the Ummah, the members of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's nation, in reality, what can I say to you? If I look inside my own life, then every single hair of ours is immersed in sin. Every hair. Because shaitan makes people shaitan, doesn't he? What he makes people do, he plays with people, he makes them commit such strange sins, such laws and ahkams and orders of Allah, he makes them shun. And then in our minds, he creates reasons. No, no, you're fine. Nothing to worry about. It's okay. What can we do if I've sinned? What can I do? What can I do? I'm helpless. It wasn't in my control. I'll say this to Allah. People instill this reasoning into their brains whilst they're sinning. Despite all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite their challenging Allah, despite their challenging Allah, that every hair of ours is immersed in sin, Allah's rahmah is still there. Mercy is still there. And before dying, Allah gives another opportunity, opportunities to the human being to atone for his sins. But me and you are sat here now. Me and you are sat here now. And this sitting of ours here, a gathering, have we come here ourselves? Have we automatically attended? Is there any greater mercy than Allah than this? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there any greater example or scene of Allah's rahmah than this? At this moment in time, what we are doing? That so clearly Allah Ta'ala said that the sinful, most sinful of person, if he attends my gathering of dhikr, majlis dhikr, I will forgive him. I'll forgive him. Clearly, crystal clear. And shaitan meeting as a Musa alayhi salam, it wasn't a chance, it was an opportunity from Allah. Remember this, but we don't take effect of these points, that such opportunities we waste in our lives. Upon which Allah has clearly, 100% crystal clear given a message. No precondition. Shaitan had a precondition. We have no precondition, no prerequisite. Allah says, just crush your desires. Put your desires to your side, what you like. And then Allah says, I'll establish the majlis. I'll make the majlis come about, the dhikr gatherings. Allah says, I will make them come into existence. All you need to do is just reach there, arrive there, sit there. Even if your niyyah is something else, Allah Ta'ala says, whatever your niyyah is, your intention is. And what a great scene Allah Ta'ala depicts regarding the gatherings of dhikr. Allahu Akbar. That in this dunya of sin, Allah says that I'll give you so many gatherings of dhikr. So many gatherings. Not one, but many more than that. Untold. Morning dhikr, evening dhikr. And a person stays sleeping, and he will persevere through the fire of Jahannam. Why? Because we just like Shaitan, he laughed. In the same way, we are laughing and rejecting. So inside us, what is it? We laugh. Ah, it's okay, majlis, they go sit in there, can you get forgiven? Oh, what's this? Is this some statement? What's the benefit of this? We say this. We feel this from these small feelings, and with such great rewards Allah has given for his dhikr, Allah's blessings and grace and mercy is so great that as a person will get closer to Qiyamah, there'll be more sins than ever before. And sins will be like what? Just like a person sitting down eating paratha and halwa, that's how easily he will sin with enjoyment. And like Shaitan, he'll cackle out with a laughter. And he'll reject from within. From within, his body will laugh, his mind will laugh with him. What's this? Wasting time. His inside, his heart, he'll be sat down, and inside he'll be speaking to himself. Despite that, Allah still has mercy on that person. He's blind, he is dumb and deaf, and even then Allah is merciful. Allah will take him to a gathering where Allah Ta'ala says nothing comes to him if he just presents himself. Allah says, I'll forgive all of your sins, subhanallah. Even then a person arrives. A person hasn't even arrived. He just arrived for a second. Sahih hadith, you can study it. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah has also recorded this hadith. He hasn't even arrived into the gathering. And as soon as he arrives, the angels surround him from all four corners. The words of the hadith. As soon as he reaches to the majlis, he doesn't pray salah. He sins. He does A, B, C, sins. Thousands of sins. But he's arrived to the gathering of Allah's dhikr. From all four sides, the angels surround him. All four sides. Imagine the scene. Imagine it. Depict it. Think about it. This is reality. Allah's mercy surrounds him. This is life. His qulub, heart, Allah Ta'ala descends sakina, satisfaction, contentment to his heart. That sinful person who was away from the gathering, who was not in the gathering, when he arrives, Allah is proud of that person whilst he's on his arsh. Allah, he hasn't even done anything yet. He hasn't even done anything yet. Tell me. So these majalis, my brothers, these gatherings, with regards to these gatherings of dhikr, the commentators have stated that we are blind, we don't understand the significance of what happens in the beginning, what happens during the gathering, what happens at the end of the gathering, the initiation of the gathering. We don't understand. Just look now. Is a normal scene, I'll tell you. Yeah? Salah, everybody comes to pray salah. Doesn't everybody come to pray salah? They do, don't they? And takbirullah, whoever comes with the first takbir and who comes later after takbirullah, is there not a difference? Yes. But I have a right to salah. No. Allah said, what I want you to give it takbirullah, the first takbir, Allahu Akbar at the beginning of salah, the reward, he's lost that. He cannot be the same as those who prayed from the beginning. It's the same masjid, same salah, but not the same reward. Takbirullah, so he's lost the front row, the takbirullah, he cannot be the same as that person, the reward he would have got for takbirullah, he cannot get when he comes later. Doesn't matter if you praise Allah. Allah Ta'ala said that the beginning of my majalis, in the beginning, in the initiation, right, left, Allah says, look at the barakat I have given to the guy in Salah's fadl, that he, on his beloveds, those people Allah Ta'ala loves, makhluk, he sends to his mahbubin, on their hearts Allah Ta'ala instills ilham, sends ilham, inspiration, Allah Ta'ala shows them the scene. So they realize that foolish person, don't hasten, don't delay, Don't delay. Hasten to the gathering. Come on time. This is a dhikr gathering. Without asking for tawbah, I'll forgive the people. Imagine the beginning of the gathering. Imagine the end of the gathering. Imagine sitting in the gathering. If you have adab and sit in the gathering, imagine what you'll achieve. Nobody can imagine. Every second that you miss, there's a difference. I gave you the example of salah, didn't I? Same applies to dhikr gathering. Yeah, everybody prays salah, but you'll see in the akhirah that which musalli took which reward from the salah, depending on the timing he attended the prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So these majalis, what are these called? Rahmah gatherings. Mercy gatherings. Allah's rahmah rains down on the dhikr gatherings. Just like rain falls from the clouds, same way Allah's rahmah rains on the majalis of dhikr. That if you come from 1,000 miles away and have to come to a gathering of dhikr, to a gathering of the wali Allah is existent, 1,000 miles is nothing to travel. Because when you get there and get what you get, you can imagine, and practically people have done this in the Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, Hazrat Khwaja Bahuddin Naqshband, they travel thousands of miles. Hazrat Datta Ganj Baksh Rahmatullah Alayhi. These great walis of Allah, imagine their maqam, we read about them, speak about them, the examples are before us. Latest gathering, latest generation, Hazrat Sheikh Lodis, Hazrat Mulana Zakir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Look at his traveling, his journey, not for money, not for dunya, not for worldly things. No, at this town, in this country, there's a wali, I'll sit with him and do dhikr for a little while. Yes, and imagine how they get sent. Yes, somebody, for example, gets heat, somebody gets physical difficulty, somebody gets problems, somebody gets illness on the way. And he is forced to go there. He comes for his desire that I will do this, okay, I'll make him do this dua for me, I'll ask him to pray for me, their blessings there. But even the difficulties on the way, Allah says, I'll give him difficulties on the journey so I can elevate his status. If I drag him along the ground, so he gets there, he gets heightened status. Today, if I had not gone to Hazrat Sahib before in the past, if I was not sat with you, Allah gave me an illness. It was a strange illness. And there was one sole cure. After many years, I realized that no cure is there. The cure will come through the pure vision of the Shaykh, the Wali Allah. And that was where my cure was. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's law, His principle, is that through some excuse, through some reason, a man needs to understand the opportunity Allah has given to him. This is Allah's rahmah. Yes, that majlis, it is based on two factors. Allah's majlis. Allah's gathering is based on two factors. Just like you go to the doctor when you're ill for physical solutions, there are two things. When you go to the doctor, when a man goes to the doctor, he doesn't go himself. Yeah? Oh, let's just go to the doctor. People say, let me go and see the doctor. Oh, go to the doctor and see him. Show the hakim. People push you and force you to go to the doctor. Because the ambulance takes you to the doctor, to the hospital, isn't it? But spiritual patients, Allah brings himself to his own hospital. No ambulance brings them. No one forces him. No one pushes him. Automatically, for some reason, that student arrives to the hospital of the Sheikh. Because the heart is longing for that. So when the patient goes to a physical hospital, or goes to a GP, the GP, he analyzes, then he gives a cure. Do you understand tashkish? He finds out, diagnoses, analyzes, investigates. What's the illness he's got? What's the root cause? As soon as he gets there, he checks your blood pressure, he'll look at the reading, then he'll put the needle on, prick your skin, get a blood count on your diabetes, or a scan to analyze what's the sickness this patient's got. And after that, they'll get the readout from the scan, the printout, the cure will come. Say subhanallah. Yes, because we see this, but listen to what I'm saying. Look at Allah Ta'ala's blessings. Where has Allah Ta'ala seated us today? Now, in the same way, spiritual gatherings, Allah's put two factors, two elements that are based there in the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Allah's put diagnosis and cure. Yes, Allah has mentioned this in the Quran, that you don't know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْلِ بَرْضَ مَا أُوتِيَ. Allah Ta'ala says, you don't know what I know. Allah Ta'ala says, that this earth, the example I'm giving to you, there's a big sign for you on the earth. If you have wisdom and understanding, many people have wisdom and understanding in the world, that you can make planes and make things fly. We use our brains for those purposes. But does your brain not accept the fact that the earth that is in front of you, it is barren, dry, infertile, How do plants grow there? How do gardens of and fields of grass grow on that land? Allah said, don't you understand my sign? This is the sign that can teach you that you may be spiritually dead, but Allah Ta'ala has put a cure for your lives. Your lives, and you can revive yourself, Allah says. You can revive yourself, subhanAllah. And you can make yourself a person who prays salah, an excellent human being. And it can make you prostrate and recite Quran nicely and do umrah. Why do you lose hope, Allah says? That you can, this solution will allow you to grow your beards and it will make you cease doing haram actions. That if Allah says, if I can make the barren land come alive, can I not make you come alive? Don't you understand what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala says. So, Rahmah, Allah's mercy. The gatherings of Allah's mercy, there are two factors. It's like you go to the doctor. So when a spiritual patient comes, then two things Allah Ta'ala gives to the spiritual patient. Yes, he is diagnosed, how many illnesses, spiritual illnesses, batin illnesses has he got? And also the cure, the solution is given. How can we cure this person? Always this will occur when there's a majlis, a gathering. And there are rahmas, there are mercies. Allah says there are two things, lazim, essential. What is the diagnosis? Analysis in the gathering. In other words, discussion, telling. This is the diagnosis for the patient. And has the diagnosis taken out? Analysis. There's no machine. Inside his qalb, his heart, it starts to accept those points that are being delivered. Oh yeah, I am a liar. I am really doing the wrong actions. Oh, I do backbite. I do wrong actions. Automatically, the current starts to flow inside him and he starts to differentiate between good and bad. This is Allah's rahmah, mercy, that causes this feeling to occur to that patient when he attends the gathering. Because Allah has given the example of his earth. So this is something to understand. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. That when a person goes to the doctor, GP, he investigates, analyzes, looks at you, measures, and then a person, if he will become healthy if he follows the solution. Or if he doesn't follow the advice, then he'll become more ill. Same way these gatherings of Allah's rahmah, mercy, gatherings, the majalis, when he's being diagnosed, and the nasiha is coming from who? From Allah. The nasiha, the advice is coming from Allah. Now if he accepts that, the student who's sitting in that gathering, if his heart, the attendee, if he accepts that, and he brings that physically into his life, then the Quran has said this clearly in the hadith, the words have stated clearly, the pious have said, that he is a fortunate person, khushbakht. And the person, if he comes to the gathering, he listens, he hears, the message is delivered to him, and his heart rejects that message, doesn't accept it, then he is the wretched person, the unfortunate person, the cursed person. Badbakht. So this is the example of shaitan. Shaitan had the opportunity. The Nabi came and gave him the response. Allah said, I'll forgive you. What a massive mercy of Allah. And he laughed and rejected. So when an individual comes to a majlis like this one today, and he's been given nasiha, and the nasiha is getting to his heart, he's understanding, he's absorbing, then he should understand and consider that time, that from Allah, Allah has called me here, Allah has invited me here, Allah has making me understand here. If I don't do amal on this nasiha, when I leave, then my name will be written on the list of the wretched people, the unfortunate people. And if he takes the nasiha, embraces it, accepts it, practices it, then Allah Ta'ala will not write his list on the unfortunate people, but on the fortunate people's list. The good, the people and the good. So these are the majalis that we attend. Allah sends us here. Allah's brought us here. He makes us here. What is the cure? The cure is specific, as I said. Allah does, just like the earth accepts, you know, rain falls from the clouds, comes from the skies, falls on the earth. It falls on all the different grounds. But not every piece of earth gives off flowers, does it? Not every piece of earth grows trees. Not every piece of earth grows grass. And rain falls on all of them. Why? Because if it's fertile, prepared land, where it's got the capacity, it absorbs the water, becomes soft, and it gives off plants, vegetation. And that land that is hard as rock, barren, infertile, the water falls on it and the water flows off it, stays like a rock. Same way the majalis, the gatherings of this nasiha, being delivered in the gathering, those whose hearts are soft, willing to accept, and they are fertile, they accept that message, the nasiha that's been given in the gathering. They accept it, they embrace it. And then, The fruits of amal come into their life. They pray salah. They start giving da'wah. They start doing good deeds. Their hearts have accepted the nasiha. And if the heart's not accepting the nasiha, then it's the same as it was before. It's not moving. It's not improving. It's in the same place as it was before. Before and after. He gets up after the majlis and leaves. He doesn't accept the nasiha. He doesn't do amal on that nasiha. And he creates excuses, obstacles, barriers. No. I don't need to do this. Oh, he didn't say this. Just one answer. Who sent you to the gathering? Who made you hear? And how did your heart not hear this? If it's pierced your heart, then that's nasiha for you. If you do amal on this, then you'll become fortunate from today. Allah will accept you. If you don't accept this and leave this, and reject this, and you laugh, crackle of laughter and reject, then it's like shaitan. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives us opportunities and chances in life, when He sends us to such an excellent gathering, majlis, and He gives us the company of the awliyaullah, the friends of Allah, a person should open his heart out with caution, carefully. The nasiha that's coming from Allah, he should consider this is from Allah, and totally should not reject it. Rather, he should write it on his heart, inscribe it on his heart, that what we do, what I do, everything I would write, what Hazrat Sahib would say in my diary. Yes, Hazrat maybe was addressing someone else, but we were writing even today. After 60, 70 years, I've got those diaries that I used to record Hazrat's words in. I cannot forget. Another person came to the gathering, and the whole majlis was there. There was another person who came, he asked his question. Hazrat Sahib was answering him. But what did I consider? The Hazrat's answer to him was not to him, it was to me. Nasiha was being given to me. Not at that time, 60, 70 years, that nasiha is benefiting me now. Now, this is recognition of Allah's rahmah and mercy and grace. Don't be animals. Don't be donkeys in your life of donkeys. Understand, where am I going? Why am I going to this gathering? Why is Allah sending me here? Hundreds of thousands of weaknesses I have in my life that could take me to Jannah. Is this not enough for us to go into Jannah when we lie? Or backbiting ones, is that not enough to drag us into Jannah? When we're angry with someone, swearing at someone, or backbiting, or gossip mongering, or envying someone, is this not enough? One of these actions is enough to drag us into hellfire. Tell me. Is this the minimum that we say that is nothing? What do we have to our name? Our forgiveness, how will it occur that we get a gathering and somebody's pure vision of solution comes on us and we get the forgiveness? That's the stage we're sat in, my brothers. That's the sad situation we're in. We should be looking for excuses. There's a gathering here. There's a wali Allah there. Quickly go there. Maybe this is my route to forgiveness. How can we say and decide where to go and not to go? Allah has opened up the doors for us. If we don't go there with the right intention, we listen to half the things. What our heart likes, we accept. Our nafs dislikes, we reject. What sort of game is this? Even there, we put our choices front there. If these words are mentioned, we'll accept. And if these are mentioned, I won't. This doesn't suit me. It's not compatible with me. I'm not going to listen to this. I don't like this. No, this is not the case. This should not be the case. Niyya, bring the right niyya, that this is the luggage for my forgiveness. Okay, I've read all of this. In the morning I recited Quran, I've done khatams of Quran, but I need to think as well, that those who have backbited against, he's taken all of my deeds. This is the punishment for backbiting. Let me tell you this. Yes, the punishment for backbiting is so big. All night long you worshipped, and the person you spoke about backbite against, you put everything, all your deeds into a container and hand it over to him. When your eyes will close, you'll die and you'll be present to Allah. These same deeds of yours will take that person into Jannah and his sins will be transferred to you and you'll go into hellfire. This is our hal. This is our status today. And what has shaitan given to us? No, you've read Quran, you've done amal, you've practiced, you've done prostrations. But he doesn't tell us that we backbited against another person. My brothers, Allah Ta'ala, when He gives us such rewards and they come onto us, don't reject them. Don't reject Allah's rewards and opportunities that He's given. Go towards them. That today I've got a majlis. Maybe after that I'll die. My mouth will come. What do I know? Will I get gatherings after that? Will I get the opportunity to practice after that? Where will I get the opportunity after death? So I have total yaqeen. That alhamdulillah, praise you to Allah. The hadith that make us believe and have conviction. Hadith. So nasiha, today's nasiha is this, that when Allah Ta'ala sends us to a gathering, a good gathering, then don't shriek out with laughter like shaitan. Rather, your nasiha has been given to you, accept it in your heart and reject your nafs. It's hard for you, O nafs, but I have to do this. And always necessary, whether you accept or not, my nafs, but Allah's given me this nasiha today, I will practice on this, doesn't matter what may occur. Yes, if we've done this, alhamdulillah, if we do this, then Allah will forgive that person and he'll become successful. May Allah Ta'ala make all of us capable so we can present ourselves like this with an honest heart. Ameen.
اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا يا غادي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات اتوب عليادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All right.